Merciful Lord, we just praise you and thank you for your grace and your mercy and your loving kindness. And we thank you, Father, that when we come to you and ask for the forgiveness, it's always there. And that's the promise that we'll always have till the day comes when we know that we will be perfect with no sin. And that is the day we see you face to face. So we ask you, Father, tonight by the power of your Holy Spirit, you speak to our minds and our hearts. And let everything that's said tonight is what you want to be said. And may our hearts be, and minds be open to hear your truth, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you through Christ our Lord. Amen. All right. The title of my message tonight is Present All That You Are as a Living Sacrifice. And I chose this because of Sunday's message. They're all good messages, but this one struck me very much, especially when the pastor was talking about, will we die for Christ? And, you know, he asked, didn't raise our hands, but he said if he asked that question, we'd all raise our hands. Yeah, yes, sure, oh yeah, I'll die for Christ, I'll give my life for Christ. And then he said, here's the question, will you live for Christ? So I went home, and I went into my study, computer, bedroom, bathroom. It's a combination. And I opened to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Okay? Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I want to touch on therefores. The pastor alludes to it a lot in different commentaries. If there's therefore, find out what it's there for. And the first one I want to do is, that's in Romans 3:20. I was going to expound on them, but I don't think I would have time. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So chapters 1 through 11 is all about the sin nature and the forgiveness and everything. And that's one therefore, because there's common condemnation. Because if you're under the law, you're under condemnation. Amen? So the next one is Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are justified. In Romans 5, it talks about the justification. Then in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen? And here's where we are tonight. In Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So, Romans 12:1, and this therefore is therefore dedication. There's only one way that we can truly be dedicated to what God wants in our lives. And I want to expound a little bit on it. There's three steps I want to talk about that we can work in our lives. But when I say we can work in our lives, we are to be dedicated to allow the Holy Spirit to present, to help us, and to prepare us, and to make us a willing sacrifice. We have to be dedicated to that, dedicate our lives to Him, so He can work in our lives to bring us about where we're supposed to be, where He wants us. We give God our body. And each one in this room, and me especially, and a lot of things, before we trusted in Christ, we used our bodies as we wanted. We did what we wanted to do. I went where I wanted to go. I sacrificed my pleasures with my body the way I wanted to. It was my body. And that should resonate to the way the world's going now, especially with abortion. It's my body. I can do what I want with it. If you heard that before. Well, my lifestyle was that way before Christ in my life. It was my body. I was going to do what I wanted with it. So now we belong to Him with the capital H, right? Him. We belong to Christ because we've given our lives to Him. So we should want to use our bodies for His glory and not for ourselves. And that's the whole point of 1 and 2, that if we truly dedicate ourselves to Him the way we should, the way I should, then He will work in my life to bring around what He wants in my life, in your life, for His glory and His glory alone. We sing a lot of songs and we say a lot of things, but everything that happens in our lives, everything, I don't care what it is, it's for His glory, for our good. The good, the bad, and the ugly. No matter what happens to us, if He is truly sovereign in all things, then He's allowed whatever comes into my life for His glory and my good. And I think that's scriptural. Now, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. And you probably know it by heart. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's not ours. We're born again. We're new creatures in Him. So we're all His. Every aspect of us. Our eyes, our ears, our speech, everything belongs to Him. And everything we do and say should bring Him glory. And when He's receiving the true glory that He should, we will be blessed abundantly, wouldn't we? Won't we? And I mean, but we have to truly dedicate ourselves to what the Word tells us, what He's telling us. And we can't do this if we're walking in our own strength, we're walking in our own desires. It has to be the desires changed because we want them to be His desires and not our own. And so the dedication that must be in our lives must be focused entirely upon Him, even when we're doing mundane things. I find that sometimes I'll be watching a television program, excuse me, and something will happen or something, and my mind goes to the scriptures. Well, the reason, and so we have to truly allow God to work in our lives. So our body is God's temple. He lives and dwells within us. And then we have Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Indeed, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. And it takes us, all this will take us to Philippians, excuse me, 1:20 and 21. Got it? Yeah. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or death. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Amen. And to die is what? Gain. Gain what? Gain. More than just eternal life. It's, we can't even express what we're going to have. Yes, it's eternal life, and it's wonderful, but there's so much more, if you can think. We're going to be with Him. We're going to see Him. We're going to commune with Him. We're going to walk with Him like He walked in the garden in the cool of the evening. Can you think about that? Him walking with our mother and father in the garden. They had everything. I'm going to make a point here. They had everything they could ever want for eternity, however how long that is. But what did they do? They weren't really dedicated, were they? Because they listened to somebody other than God. And He said, if you do this, this one thing, if you go against this one command that I have for you, you will surely die. Here we are. Here we are. Present. I read this and it was pretty interesting. It says the verb present here means once and for all. Not today and maybe not tomorrow, or maybe this week but not next week. Every day, we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to the one that paid the ultimate price, the ultimate sacrifice. We are to present ourselves daily. Amen? Okay, we give our body. Second, we give him our mind, our minds. The world wants to control our minds. And everything that we run into outside of these four walls, everything we run into is the world trying to take our minds. Books, television, radio, there are all of these things, because our world is a world controlled by Satan, which is alive. This is his world. And the Bible says it's his world, because when he took Jesus up on the mountain or the temple, doesn't matter, he took him high up, and he says, look at all this. Look at all this. This can all be yours. He's saying this to Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth, creator of all things, saying, this can all be yours because it's mine to give you. And all you have to do is bow down to me. And so often, I bow down when I shouldn't be. And how did Jesus defeat the temptation? Right. The Word of God. And that's the only way we're going to defeat Satan. It's by the Word. He's already a defeated foe. He has no power over us. None. But every time I bow the knee, every time I fall, I do that on my own volition. Because I'm not being dedicated. I'm not being obedient to Him by the Word living within me. And it's only by the Word that He will be defeated. And it's the power, the living presence of the Holy Spirit in our souls and our spirit that bring out this truth. And the power behind the Word is not me, it's the Holy Spirit. Because if it's me, the devil's going to defeat me every time. He'll defeat you every time. It has to be the power of the Holy Spirit when that Word is presented. It's the same way when somebody gets saved. We can't save anybody. All we can do is speak the Word. And we speak that Word in truth and love and the power of the Holy Spirit, not our power. Because once we put ourselves in front of the Holy Spirit, all they are is words. Words with no power. The power is the Holy Spirit. We are the vehicle. We are the conduit. That's all we are. Nothing else. To share this truth. To share this truth. The mind. The mind. So the world's trying to take our mind. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. Is everybody there? I'm sorry. Okay? This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling were given themselves over to lewdness, to all works of uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man with which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Amen. Colossians 3, 1 through 11. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, and covetous, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. And that word, transfer, is the same as transfigure. If you go to Matthew 17:21, it's a transfiguration. I thought it was 17:21, but I don't see it. 17:12. But anyway, it's the transfiguration, right? It's just we get our word metamorphosis, okay? So they saw him and his glory was shown forth, right? His glory was shown forth on the outside. Amen? So it's like a caterpillar turns into a moth. So this is what the world is coming into our lives. The world wants to change our mind. It exerts pressure from without, right? The pressure is coming from without. And God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is transforming us from within. The world grabs us from the without and tries to put pressure on us to do this and to do that. And God is working from within, changing us from within to the image, to the glory that He wants. The glory that is in His Son is supposed to be manifested in our lives when we are dedicated to letting our lives be a living sacrifice. Not just walking around mouthing it, but our lives are showing it. It's being manifested in our lives as we walk, as we talk, as we interact with other people, that the world can see the difference. Our lives show a difference, not so much always speaking it. It's our actions, our love that's supposed to be coming from Him to others. They'll feel it, they'll know it. They won't see the glow maybe like they saw in Christ, but they'll see a difference in our lives, a difference in our face, a difference in our expressions, a total difference in our lives. And this is the living sacrifice. And am I there? No. Sometimes I still want to punch somebody in the mouth. And sometimes I show that. So see, I'm not a living sacrifice yet. But I know someday, I don't know when, I will be. I will be truly where He wants me to be. You will be truly. Some of you are almost there. I know that because you got sweet spirits. You show it. I feel it in you. And it's a beautiful relationship. And someday, maybe someday, one of us in here, who knows, we can be walking down the street. We go by a homeless person laying out there. You walk by and the shadow will touch that person. That person will get up and become a brand new believer in Christ. Just the shadow. That's what Peter did, didn't he? He walked by in the shadow. See, that's the living sacrifice. That's what the Lord wants us to be. His living sacrifice. That He uses us for His glory. It's not that I want to do these things. It's I want Him to have full control of me, to use me His way, to see fit for His glory. And I think if we truly, truly dedicate ourselves to these, that I truly see a church that has totally come alive because they sacrifice their love, their life. They've become living sacrifices that the Master can use for His glory. Amen? And the Holy Spirit changes our mind by releasing that power within us as we're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Walk after the Spirit, not the things of the flesh. If the world controls our thinking, we are conformers. If God controls our thinking, we are transformers. We're being transformed. Amen? So, who's controlling our thoughts? Whose thoughts are we taking more in? The more you take in of anything, more is going to come out. Amen? The more of God's Word we take in our lives, the more of His life, His actions, His love, His mercy are going to come out. And not the things of the world. So we have to be careful how much time we put in to the things of the world. How much time we personally put in the things of the world. Apart from what we truly don't need. There are things that we do need. But there's a lot of things that we don't need. There's a lot of things I don't need that I put a little bit too much time in. And at times it shows itself. It rears its ugly head. And that's where the dedication comes in again. Am I going to be dedicated to the things of God? Or am I going to be dedicated to the things that the world wants me to have? There's a lot of things that I would like to have. But all those things I really strive for, I don't need. Because my Bible says that somebody's going to supply all of my needs. All of my needs according to His riches and glory. Amen? Everything I need while I'm here will totally be mine. And once in a while there's a little icing on it. But if the icing isn't there, I love chocolate cake, whether it's got icing on it or not. And lemon cake. Number three. We give Him our will. That's where it is. That's where it is. Our mind controls over body, and our will controls our mind. Do you hear that? Our mind controls our body, and our will controls our mind. Willpower. You ever hear that? I got the willpower. I had that willpower for years. I was good at it. Fell every time. Remember smoking. I can give it up. Nothing to it. I gave it up for 2 weeks once. Almost died. Another thing too. I don't share this usually openly, but I'm going to tonight. When Arlene and I were married, the first 10 years of our life was hell on earth for Arlene. Okay? I remember when Kathy was born, I says, man, I'm going to change. I got a daughter. I got a beautiful daughter. I'm going to change my lifestyle. I don't think she was 3 months old. I was right back where I was before. Then 3 years later, the Lord gave me a son. That's it, man. Am I puffed up? I got a son. I got a daughter and I got a son. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to change. I'm going to do what's right by my wife, my daughter, and my son. Yep. Willpower. That's a joke. That's a joke. That is a total joke. It's only by the grace of God she and I have been married for 53 years. Because on that 10th year, I was in a car driving to Syracuse with $2,000 in my pocket, and I was gone. I wasn't coming back. That was on the 10th year. Willpower. What a joke. What a true joker that is. At times I've asked God to just break my will, just take my will, take it. No, don't let me have that will, because it's so strong at times. But He'll work it out. He has, oftentimes. It's only when we yield our will to the will of God, and then we will have the willpower and the won't power that we need to be truly dedicated to be a living sacrifice. A true living sacrifice. We give God our body, we give Him our mind, and we give Him our will. As Jesus said to the Father that night when He was in the garden, three times, He says, "If this cup can pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will." Right then and there, He was already a living sacrifice, willing to be totally sacrificed, 100%. The dedication that He had to His Father, with the love that the two had, He totally allowed Himself, totally gave over His will to the Father, to complete the Father's will for you and I. For you and I, He did all that. Living sacrifice. I'm going to read this and I'm going to close. "Present all that you are as a living sacrifice, holy to God. Let your life be a daily expression of worship. Do not live according to the ways of the world, but to let the Bible transform your mind. Think and act God's way every day." Amen. Father, again, I thank You. I give You praise, glory, and honor because of Your faithfulness, because of Your love. Lord, I pray that I and my brothers and sisters can truly be a living sacrifice for Your glory, to show the world how much You love and how much You care and how much You gave to make this possible in our lives. Your will be done, my Lord and my God, and we ask this in the name of Jesus, Your beloved and our Lord. And everybody said,